Happy Friday. Welcome to Champagne Channeling. I am so excited to relax with you and enjoy loose, candid conversation with my featured guest. As another week has passed, I'd like to invite the energy of Freya, a Nordic goddess whose name means Friday. She represents fun and celebration. I deeply honor the medium and the human experience. As much as I surrender and serve spirit, I also choose to indulge and serve myself by enjoying the finer things in life, one of which is champagne, accompanied by the perfect glass. So grab your favorite glass, fill it with a beautiful beverage that lights you up, sit back, and enjoy. I am so happy you're here. Cheers to a beautiful spirit-led weekend. Hello, you guys. Welcome back to Champagne Channeling. Today's episode is going to be so fun. It's one of my favorite topics. And I have a beautiful, lovely guest, a new friend of mine, Stephanie Russell, here with me. And she likes to teach about being psychologically safe. She's a psychologically safe facilitator, which I'm really happy I just said that without messing up. And, you know, she's in the beauty industry. So I used to do hair for 10 years, about 10 years ago. And there's a lot of stuff that is not exactly healthy or trauma informed. And so she's really pivoted her career in helping facilitators or helping facilitate to make sure that environments are safe for everyone, and so many other psychological things that I can't wait to step into with her. Stephanie, welcome. Thank you so much for being here with me.
No, thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here. I've been following you since what I think is more the beginning. And I love watching your journey. I am dying to go to your events. Like, I am a huge, huge fan. I love your things. I love you.
Oh my gosh. I love you too. Thank you so much. We're both curly haired girls. So I love that you have yours straight today. Mine's like in the middle, but it's when you straighten your hair, I know that feeling. And I'm always like, oh my God, it looks so beautiful, because it's that fight always with this curly, curly hair. But usually everyone else is like, you guys, why are you straightening your beautiful hair?
I know it's a strange thing, but like anybody, we like change, right? Or at least I should speak for myself. I just like to change it up.
Yes. Okay. So psychologically safe. Can you tell me more? And if I left anything else, I know you do more than that, but how did you get involved in that? Like where, tell me the story, like where did you come from and why did you end up in this profession?
Well, it's really interesting, Jenny. And I love that we're here, because I can speak so freely on this podcast, because I know your audience is very open-minded, right? I got here because I experienced so many unsafe relationships, you know, and it wasn't just in the workplace. It was growing up. I seemed to find myself, and I, you know, I'm very hesitant to do like the victim blaming or the victim mode or anything here, or to blame the people I was around, because I just believe that we're a lot of unhealed people walking around causing more trauma, right? But I did find myself in a lot of different situations in which there was, in some cases, mild bullying, but then all the way to more extreme bullying cases. And I wound up at the same time in a salon environment that was full of beautiful people with a lot of, I want to say issues. I'm going to say that very kindly, because when I say issues, we all have them, right? But these were issues that were playing out in unsafe ways. And even though individually I love them, as a collective, it was almost like a collective energy that kept, they would feed on each other and it would grow. And sometimes it was targeted towards me, right? And I was in an abusive relationship at the time as well. So I know what it's like to be in unsafe environments. And at one point, though, I had to take a look and see, like, what's the common denominator? Me. Right? Like, how can it be that I keep looking around myself and saying, well, he's so mean, she's so mean, why are they doing so many mean things, blah, blah, blah. And I'm not taking away from anybody's experience here when it comes to drama or trauma. It's really hard. It's really hard to be in those situations. But I had to look and see, well, how do I stop the cycle? I had to look at the parts I was perpetuating, right? And so I had a few come to Jesus moments with that. And eventually, though, I think that that willingness for me to see where I was perpetuating that brought me to how I could help others to not, to either, if they feel like they're the victim to things, to either help them with their boundaries or help them to overcome that, or even to help, like, if, why are people hurting people? And, you know, we always say hurt people, yes. And unhealed people, you know, they tend to cause more people to need to heal. And so how can we get past that? And psychological safety, all that to say, fell into my lap one day. At first it was very corporate. I did a 3-hour training my first time, and I was in there with a lot of, like, the only beauty professional in there with all these medical people from the medical world. And I was like, what am I doing here? But it was really funny because what I recognized was we're going through the same things, like compassion fatigue, from being so close to people. And compassion fatigue actually means secondary trauma. Like, that's the other term for it. And so it's the sharing of the trauma of other people. And so when you look at that piece and how much happens in the beauty world, it wasn't that far apart, right? And no, we're not saving lives, but we're saving egos, right? Like, when we're doing beauty, we're saving how people see themselves, how they view themselves in some cases. And we're also a safe place for people to just share things. And I think that the compassion fatigue, how that plays out is a lot of beauty professionals hold it very well for their guests, but then there's only so much they can handle. And then the relationship with their teammates, you know, can be tense because of all of the things that they're carrying. And then the relationships at home, it's like a domino effect. We can only hold so much. And I'm not saying this is the case in every salon. I'm not saying it's the case for every service provider. I'm just saying that it happens more than I would like to see happen. And there was a stat that came out last year from L'Oreal that said 65% of hairstylists have had either burnout, aka compassion fatigue, they're kind of booked together, anxiety or depression. And it wasn't a surprise to me when I learned that stat. And so, yeah, that's how that all came down. But I also had a diagnosis in 2018 of generalized anxiety disorder. And I know I had burnout in 2016 and in 2018, not diagnosed. That was a very long way of saying that's how I got here.
Yeah. No, it wasn't long at all. And I completely agree with you. And I think that so many people that are in any type of service industry, especially if you're touching people, there's just no way that there is an enmeshment, you know, energetic enmeshment. And so I love that you have a term for that, and just having that fatigue of, like, I have been so compassionate because it's my job, but also because I'm a human and it's natural for us to care, believe it or not. And one time I remember the first time this happened, I was shampooing someone's hair and they just started crying. And I had a lot of people tell me, I mean, they would get in my space, and now I know why. And I do, you know, doing what I do, people get on a Zoom call with me and immediately emotion floods them. And I'm like, this is part of the work. I'm holding space, but I was holding space back then. I just didn't know it. And so a lot of my clients would cry. A lot of my clients would tell me their deepest, darkest secrets. And what I realized is, back then, even before, like, I was as spiritual as I am, I mean, I've always been spiritual, but the water, when you're washing someone's hair, is really it's like a visceral memory of being in the womb. So when you're in the womb, you're surrounded by this fluid, your hair's wet. But then when you have your first bath, it's nurturing. When you're showering, it's like this intimacy, you're nurturing yourself. And so when somebody is washing your hair, when you're clothed in public, it definitely is a shock to the system, whether you know it or not, of vulnerability. And so that vulnerability then makes you act in a way, or energetically share in a way, or whatever you may do as the client, and the provider, it doesn't, like, all the providers don't know how to handle that. And so you and everything you're doing is probably helping these people have better boundaries, have better ability to communicate. And I don't know, I just, like, that just came, the memory came back to me as you were speaking of, like, it's, we don't set people up for success that are in service industries, because it is such an intimate exchange between client and provider.
Well, beautiful things came up for me when you said that. Number one, I thought you were going to go there with the water, you know, it being water being linked to emotions and the, that cleansing aspect. And that's why, but I love that. It never came to me, but it's so true. There's a vulnerable aspect of quote unquote bathing, right? And like you said, the water, the womb, it's beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. And I think it's conversations like you and I are having right now that help equip people, because, you know, we only do better when we know better. And one of the things that has really been apparent to me is that language is so important, and people need language around these things, right? And sometimes the simplest of concepts are not in our forefront of our minds. Like, for instance, what mood we're in and how it affects how safe we are with other people, right? We're not necessarily consciously thinking about that. Like, if I'm right now feeling irritated, how does irritated Stephanie act? Right? Irritated Stephanie acts like fill in the blank here, and that's unsafe. I'm unsafe to myself. I'm unsafe to others. And it's as simple as that. Like, that's how simple it can be. But I don't think that it's A, talked about enough. I don't think B, that it's normalized enough. Well, same thing as talked about enough, but I don't think we're giving it language, which is what these conversations do.
Yeah. So what is the number one thing that comes up when people want to work with you in this way? Like, do you usually work with the owners of the salon, or is it individuals like booth rent, or like who hires you, and what's like the first step? Like, what's the biggest thing that you're like, this is where we need to start?
That's a really great question. It's really funny because the first step is always awareness, but that first step of awareness is different for everybody. Right? Because every client I work with has different levels of awareness. And to answer your question, who do I work with mostly? I have worked with service providers individually, but it's been usually them hire me through their owner, like as in the owner does it for them, shares my services for them, which is a beautiful thing to see. Mostly though, it's the leaders. And I think that's mostly because they're the ones who are really wanting to create that environment, the psychologically safe environment. I also work with some facilitators too, because I still work with the color company Redken. So I work a lot with that network. But salon owners, each one of them, again, awareness is the first piece, but each one is coming at it from such a different place. Yeah. And what they need to do to be safe is so different. But usually we start with looking at where right now out of the, and this is where it gets kind of, this is how we take the, we're logical, right? And then we can make it into something that is, they don't know I'm making it spiritual, but I do. But we take the logical, what are the 13 aspects of psychological safety, as, you know, 3D is that. And we look at what areas need to grow. And from those areas, that's where we get to the heart of the matter. That's where we get into really manifesting what it is and who it is that they want to be. Because you and I both know, like, when it comes down to manifesting, when it comes down to anything that you want to create in the world, it's not because, yes, we want to create beautiful things, but mostly it's because of how those beautiful things make us feel. Mm-hmm. Right. And so it's looking at how do they want to be and how do we align that? So who do they want to show up as a leader? There's a reason why they did this. There's a reason why they opened the salon. There's a reason why anybody who's listening to this podcast do what they do. And it's for the feeling of doing it. But it's also when it comes to leaders, it's for who do they want to be? How do they want to show up as? And there was a quote that hit me the other day, and it was that we expect people to see us based on our intention and to judge us based on our intention, but yet we judge others based on their behavior. And I haven't found a salon owner yet. I haven't found an individual yet. Forget like who it is. I haven't found an individual yet who doesn't have beautiful intentions. But what gets in the way? what gets in the way is oftentimes our emotions, and that comes from the meaning we make of things, mm-hmm. right? How we're viewing the world makes us have an emotion. And then that emotion, I call them DUIs. They're decisions under the influence. We are under the influence when we have an emotion, and we can label it as good or bad, but it's not. It's just it's a reality. We have chemicals coursing through our blood that makes us act in a way that we've learned to act at that time. That's it. It's so simple. And sometimes those ways that we act, and sometimes those chemicals coursing through our veins, make us act in a way that's not in alignment. So we have to know what alignment looks like. And so although I'm talking psychological safety and I'm talking all of these very corporate terms, what I believe my gift is bringing the heart to it, is bringing it down to a real human level of how do we be that? How do we show up in the world like that? And not from a place of good or bad or right or wrong, but from a place of this is who I know I want to be and who I'm meant to be. Mm-hmm. So let's get there. Let's do the things step by step that make us that person more often. Simple.
Yes. And it takes such discipline and devotion. And that just, I guess, makes me want to ask a question that probably is like more controversial, but like, I just feel that when we start to teach about psychological safety and we start to be trauma informed and we start to give people these opportunities to have these outs for things that they've experienced so long ago that now are ruling their nervous system, how do you make sure that you're empowering and not enabling? Because so many people take this information and they weaponize it, in my opinion, and then they always have like, you know, I just need an emotional sick day, or I'm not capable because I'm feeling XYZ, when it's like, I think that there's this, do you see, I hope you're nodding, so I'm going to let you take it, because that's where I'm like, I want to educate people too, but like, I also don't want to enable them to like, you can stay being addicted to your victimhood.
Yeah. We are of very similar mindsets there. So here's how I want to answer that, because there's always a yes and. There's a yes, and it is being weaponized. And if the person is okay with where they are in life, and they're okay with where those consequences leave them, then they are okay. They let them be, is my thought on that. And if they are reaching out for, say, my services, or if they are looking for something new and they're reaching, I'm going to say that they are in the place where they're looking to be empowered. And to that place, then my job is, I feel like my role is to help them to see what it takes to be empowered. Mm-hmm. Right? They don't have to be. Nobody has to be. Nobody has to be anything. But if they are in a place where that's what they want and they're true to themselves. So I think my whole role, to going back to that, is to find what's alignment for them. Who do they want to show up in the world? That's a gift that I know I give a lot of people. And if that's who you want to show up as, then it's going to take this. It's going to take leaving behind the story of the victim. It's going to take that, because that story of the victim is perpetuating a victim cycle. And if you're okay with that, then bless you. I love you. Mm. I see you. I see the power in that. I remember, Jenny, to that point, I remember the aha moment I had when I was 8 years in an emotionally abusive relationship with an addict. And I had this aha moment on the phone with his sister, and I was complaining about going through the drama of what he just did again. And it must have been the millionth time over the course of 8 years. And I had almost this moment where I kind of just woke up and thought, I'm sick of hearing myself. Like, I'm sick of hearing myself say this over and over again, but I'm also realizing I'm addicted to being the angel. I'm addicted to being the angel because, damn it, I look great next to this guy. Like, I look so good, and it's easy to look good. And that's my story. I'm not saying that's anybody else's, but that was my aha moment where I was like, I'm addicted to being right. And so I had to let that go. I had to let that go. And in order to be in the relationship I'm in now, which is so much healthier, I had to be okay with I am sometimes the perpetrator in this relationship. I am sometimes the person who's wrong in this relationship. I am sometimes the person who is causing the drama, right? Because I went from being the perfect one to now being a partner and being part of the, you know? And so it was just, I had to let go of so much to be in a healthier place. And yet I also know how hard it is to let go of all that. So I have so much compassion for people who aren't ready to let go.
That's beautiful. I love that because I think that having compassion for people that aren't ready to let go, but also I know that you have strong boundaries. So you set up a parameter that I will not judge you for staying addicted to your pain, but this might not be the best job for you to stay in, or, you know, et cetera. I do believe that you're a victim once and then you're an addict. And I think we all go through that until we have that radical awakening, which you've shared too already, that you just really had to take responsibility. And I love that about you so much because that's how I am. And I can walk through my life and I can really pick out the areas that I loved being in a toxic situation because of what it did for me. And if you're not there yet, I just want to encourage you to realize that anything that's repetitive in your life that doesn't feel comfortable, it truly is serving you on some level. And when once you find where it's serving you, then it's like, yeah, I could get this need met elsewhere. Like I'm not going to participate in the toxicity anymore. But I think what happens is some of these bigger companies, they want to have this psychologically safe environment, and they're doing it from maybe a place of protection. I mean, that's not bad because it's like, if you start a company, you do care for your employees, but you also have to protect yourself because there's a lot of employees that are not going to care about you in the same way because they don't have to, if there's no liability there. And so you set up this environment to have this psychologically safe environment. And then you come and you have to witness people that are completely destructive. And that's where my feeling is. It's like, if we're going to talk about psychology, let's talk about both ends. And some people are like, ooh, yay, like me, psychology, I want to know everything because I literally want to better myself. And then other people are like, psychology, I am interested, but they don't really invest in any transformation and they don't really take any stock in like what it actually means or who they are in that.
It's so true. There are both sides, right? I mean, that we live in a dichotic world. And the funny thing is that truly psychologically safe environments are not about conformity. They're about the ability to speak up. Like truly psychologically safe. Like, yes, when I'm discussing psychological safety a lot in salons, I'm talking a lot about reducing mental harm. But part of reducing mental harm is also about giving people the empowerment to speak up, to not conform, to be okay with not conforming, to be okay with saying what needs to be said, to descending an unpopular or like a, to voice an unpopular opinion and still be okay and still know that you're not going to be, reprimanded for that. So that means that a truly psychologically safe environment has people who are open and willing to hearing everybody's opinions. And when you have a truly safe psychologically safe environment, then you also have, it's kind of like what happens is that the tides will turn. So if you have a majority of people who are truly psychologically safe, which means that they are able to be themselves, they're able to voice what's going on in a safe way. That does not mean condoning behavior. It means calling out behavior that's harmful and recognizing, like, say if I'm having an emotion that is causing me to behave a certain way, it's not actually causing me to behave a certain way. It's like, no, I'm having the emotion, and this is how we are expected to show up even with those emotions, right? With respect, with dignity. It's a common goal there, right? That's where safety lies, is having a common goal. But if you have one person who is not psychologically safe, who is, say, taking advantage or not willing to grow, not willing to whatever, when you have a psychologically safe team and you have 9 members who are, and you have one member who's not, I promise you that one member is not going to feel comfortable. If they're going to continue to perpetuate drama, if they're going to continue to perpetuate unsafe behaviors and you have nine other people calling them out on it, like say the people who are narcissistic, the people who are manipulating, the people who are fill in the blank here, who are exhibiting really extreme behaviors, they're not comfortable in a safe environment. They're getting the hell out of there. They're going somewhere else that they can get away with those behaviors, right? So that's the idea of it. And a lot of people believe that psychological safety when, you know, until, and I did too, until I knew better, that it's coddling when it's not. It's actually more about setting up the space so that everybody has a voice.
Yeah. I think that it's probably equivalent to what I call emotional elegance, because emotional elegance I look at as, emotional intelligence, I believe we all have. I believe that it's impossible for not us to not have emotional intelligence, because we are a soul having a human experience and we all have emotions. Emotional maturity, on the other hand, is a little bit more intentional. And I think that that's about realizing, like, what am I going to do with my emotions? How do I decipher other people's emotions and if it's personal or not? And then emotional elegance is that full, 360 degree acceptance of you where you're at, me where I'm at, and knowing that none of it really has to do with anything else but my own perception and how am I going to navigate with, you know, responsibility and confidence and patience through this life. And I think that that feels a little similar. It's a frequency.
I love the word emotional elegance. I will give you full credit and I will probably use it. I absolutely love it. I got this idea of like this eloquent, when you said this eloquent is what I wanted to say, eloquent dance of two people just, you know, moving through the motions, but in such a respectful way. I love that vision you just helped me have. So thank you.
Yeah. Well, we have family enmeshment. So that makes me think that we probably have colleague enmeshment. And so I think what happens there is there's a lot of energetic entanglement. And so when we have a psychologically safe environment or we choose emotional elegance, that separates. And there's this understanding of like, I don't need to respond to something that maybe you're having a nervous response to. And being somebody that used to work in a salon, like, you get your team, you get your girls, you get your pack, you get your tribe, whatever. And it's like these clicks start to happen and they just sort of happen organically. Like, you know, it was all my 20s. So I'm sure I could have behaved differently. I did choose to work at a salon that, had training. Like, you had to train for a year as an assistant before you got a spot. And then they offered ongoing training and I ended up becoming a facilitator, but it was a family. And so I loved that. Like, I didn't want to do booth rent because I just felt like I wanted that family unit. And so there was that, which was really beautiful. And there was like, I think 12 salons all over Colorado. And we would do big annual things and semi-annual things. And, you know, you get 80 stylists in a room together and it's a really good time. And you feel like we're all under the same influence. And so I am thankful for that because I was there the whole 10 years. And I know that a lot of the girls that went into the booth rent, there was never that camaraderie. There was never that team. And so they were jumping around. And so I wonder, have you experienced that too? Like, is it more for people that are under the same roof that you have more success with?
Yeah, I've worked with one or two suite renters is more so what we call them here. Okay. Because we didn't, booth renting wasn't really a thing, which means to, for anybody who's listening who's not in the industry, booth renting usually means to rent a chair in a salon. We've only had that in Newfoundland recently, but what came first was the suites. So in saying that, I've worked with a couple of suite renters locally in Newfoundland, and mostly what they're looking for from my services is how do I be psychologically safe with guests? Right. So how do I protect myself energetically, which is one thing. I also have my Reiki master certification. And that lends me a little different view to the energetics plus the psychology behind it. So those have been successful, but they're not the same as working with a team. And I love teams. And what I found was, specifically in Canada, and it's been happening in the US for a while, but salons were drifting so that most people were going into suite rentals, like a lot. Like, there's obviously mass exodus out of salons. I truly believe it's a couple of reasons. I think it's, number one, they didn't feel like there was a career path for them. Number two, I think it was the safety. You know, I think those are the two main reasons from what I've been talking to people. And what I know to be true as well is that people perform better in teams when it's a safe team. So people make more money. They have greater quality of life. We are social creatures. We're meant to be around people. And not having coworkers, even though you see guests every day, so you're having conversations, but not having those steady relationships can be very difficult for stylists, for anybody, right, who goes out on their own, any entrepreneur who is now not working with a team. It's like you don't have your steady. It's almost like you're not in, you know, just like a romantic relationship, you're not in a workplace relationship, right? And those are such beautiful relationships for us. And when they're unsafe, there was a study that was just done recently, and I want to say, I can't remember if it's 60 or 70%, but that's how much managers affect people's mental health. So our leaders affect our mental health as much or more than our home relationships, is what the study showed. This is the impact we have on people.
Yeah.
You know, and so in saying that, this is where I make the most impact, is lessening the mental harm that leaders do, not from having bad intentions, because they have beautiful intentions, but their behavior when they're stressed is completely different. And so how they're showing up sometimes is completely out of alignment with how they think they're showing up, because the awareness is not there. And it's kind of funny, but not funny at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's, I remember we had the best manager at our salon, and he did an assessment, and it was year three. So I was still kind of new, because that first year I had to be his assistant. Which is just, was freaking awful. I hated that. But then again, then I had an assistant, and I treated her so well, you know, cause it's like, I then was like, oh, I remember this part sucks. But you're learning a lot, and that's important. But he did an assessment on all of us on what motivates us. And it was funny, because the majority of us, it wasn't money. Like, it wasn't a bonus. It was, for me, it was like words of affirmation. Like, I want a compliment. I want you to tell me I'm doing a good job. I really do. Because if I know I'm doing a good job, my confidence is going to be higher. Like, I'm just going to feel better. And so with him doing that, he would do certain competitions that, of course, would serve the people that were motivated by winning and money, which was not me. And then, you know, I think he just always knew to tell me that, because it was just something that lit me up. And I really wanted to do a good job, which, looking back, it's like, I did do a really good job, but I didn't know, you know, like I don't know. And so I think that is a good manager that understands, like, we do all operate so differently, and we have very different needs. And to really tap into that, to make sure that everyone feels good.
Yeah. It's so funny. I thought I was so brilliant, because I was like, oh, wouldn't it be cool if there were love languages for feedback? And I thought, oh, wow. And the moment I Googled it, I was like, oh, there are. Right. And, but yeah, there are love languages for feedback. There are ways in which people want the recognition. There are different, to your point, there are different ways people want to be rewarded. And that is part of the work that I do too, is helping leaders to discover, how do we strengthen our relationship with each other? And just like Jenny, this is no different. Like, we make all these categories, like romantic relationships, work relationships, and sure, you know, if we have a romantic relationship at home and we want it to be one that's only the two of us, then we don't want to have those romantic relationships at work. That's not helpful. But they're just relationships, right? Like, we are conversing with each other. And, you know, I don't think we recognize that we're holding each other's little hearts in our hands sometimes. And one of the things that I work with, though, is helping people to be empowered so that they don't feel like people are holding their hearts in their hands. So they have their heart, their own heart in their hand. And then from that space, they have more compassion for others and more grace for others, grace for themselves. But when you don't know that, when you're not speaking from an empowered place, it certainly feels like other people have, you know, our little hearts in their hands, and and going around and have the ability to, you know, either make us feel like $1 million by telling us like, hey, you're fantastic, or saying like just little criticisms that eat away at our core.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, my brain is going so many different ways. This is so off topic, but my husband is like dotes on me, like adores me, says I'm perfect and beautiful all the time and like can't keep his hands off me. But when we're in public or around people, he doesn't. And I had to say, like, I just like you to do it publicly. Like, I want you to like tell me that in front of people. And he's like, what? Like, you know, I love you. I'm like, I know, but I want other people to know. And it's like, what are you, 5 years old? It's like, yeah, I am. Like, I don't know why he talks like that all the time when we're alone, but when we're around people, he's like super quiet. So, I mean, he touches me and stuff, but you know what I mean? Like, it's it's all from a place of an inner child. Like, our needs are our inner child. And that inner child, however you are, has a need that, I'm a rising Leo, so of course I'm going to want every, like, it's like, in public, show me all the attention. At home, just leave me alone. I want to read. Like, I need my space. Like, it's so I think that that's so beautiful, is like giving people the opportunity to really honor, like, what is it? What, like, where do you want to be seen? Where do you want attention? Attention isn't a bad thing. Like, we all need it. We want it. So how would you like it to be presented to you? And the person that you're employed by should know it. Your spouse should definitely know it.
Mm-hmm. And we should know it, like that, you yeah. know, and own it, you know, there's, I don't know. It's really funny because sometimes I think, and I'm guilty of it, we take ourselves so seriously. Number one, number two, we oftentimes we label things as right and wrong, good and bad. And yet at the same time, if it's a core want and need for us, like, then it's so much healthier to express that core want or need and to just accept that that's a core want or need. And you know what? Sometimes in the acceptance of it, sometimes in admitting, like, I want you to grope me in public, in that admitting of it, sometimes you might get out in public and have that happen and be like, wait, now I thought I wanted that, you know, or it's because you feel heard, it's no longer what you need yeah. anymore. Right? Because you validated yourself, even you don't need it anymore. So there are some things that just naturally fall away when we accept it. And a lot of those are the things that we judge about ourselves, right?
Yeah.
It's a funny, funny dance. It is.
And you're so right. And I definitely don't want to be groped in public. That would freak me. I'd be like, oh my God. Like, but so here, that's so true, because like the little girl in you or boy, who hasn't had a voice, if you give them a voice, you're giving that part of yourself a voice that was suppressed at a certain age. So it's going to talk from that age. And then as you reparent yourself, or as you do this type of work, or as you heal, or as you become psychologically safe, then it develops and changes over time. And that's, you know, there's this trend right now, which I really... am on board, because it came out of my mouth and I keep seeing more and more and more things, but it's like, I've been many women, or I've went to many funerals this past year and they all were mine, you know, like all of this, like death and rebirth of all these versions, because we're starting to realize like, this isn't about like Groundhog Day. Like, we're meant to shed old skin. We're meant to change. We're meant to transform. We're meant to want different things. Like, that's part of growth. And so if you're changing your mind, like, congratulations, that means you're growing.
Yeah, it reminds me of the meme of the caterpillar and the butterfly at the table. And the caterpillar looks at the butterfly and he's like, you've changed. And the butterfly looks back and says, you're supposed to.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. And to that point, I think that the more we, you know, it's funny you should say that. And this is, you know, it's always meant to be, as you know, with the topics, but I think sometimes there is a little bit of mourning that has to happen, or for the releasing. Yeah. I have this client that I'm working with right now, and I'm not going to give away any information, but we were talking and they had a real big focus on problems, right? And I was saying, well, what if you have no problems? And they were like, what are you talking about? I have this, 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 and this. And I'm like, okay, what if you had no problems? And they were like, I would have to let me go. And I was like, yeah, let you go. And the reaction was, if only this is a podcast, but if only people could, I wish I could make a face like it. Like there was just pure for a second, a disgust that went across their face. And not at me, but like at the thought of letting them go. And it's funny because the conversation went directly in a different way. And so I plan on coming back to this conversation because it was so recent, our next session. But it was for me, I was like, what was that? What did they think that I wanted them to let go? Like, what was it that they were holding on to so tightly? Because mm-hmm. what I saw that they were holding on to so tightly was their problems.
Control. Absolutely.
Exactly that, control. Because in a world like, and we really can, this is one for the listener, and I'm not calling anybody out. If you feel called in, great.
I love that. I'm like, I'm calling you out. I'm calling you out. And beautiful, psychologically safe Stephanie's like, if you feel called in.
Just different approaches. There's somebody for your approach too. Like, you know, this is why we need them all. But if you feel called in, listener, it's the, what I've learned about, and specifically about human needs, is we all have, there are more than this, but when I was working with, I did a year of Tony Robbins University. And I'm not a Tony Robbins coach. I did all of his major programs, which was really cool. So I transformed myself in some ways through him, right? That's what it was meant to do. And one of the things that he talks about are six human needs. And the main two I want to talk about right now are certainty and uncertainty. So we have this need for certainty. We have this need for, and I love looking at certainty like safety. We have a need for safety. We also have a need for uncertainty. Another word for that is variety, right? We have a need to like have surprise in our lives and go on quests and adventures and things like that. But here's the thing is that those two needs come up against each other. And this client that I'm speaking of actually as well has a human need of, or has a value of freedom, yet has the need for so much certainty. So how can we have both? It's like putting the gas and the brake together. Now we can have both, but we have to see where they're working together and where they're working against each other. And in this case, what I see is gas and brake going, right? And so, excuse me, but what's happening is that if we have uncertainty, or if we have a need for certainty, we have a need for safety, and it's a need that is making us control, because that's what it does. If we need certainty, we need safety, we need control, then you are going to have a lot of problems in your life. You can't not. When the more we try to control, the more problems we create. The more we let go and the more we allow things to happen, almost like, you know, it's the difference between damming ourselves up with all these little problems of stones in a river versus recognizing that there are stones in the river and the river just flowing right over them, right? It's that releasing of problems. And one of the things that, because I sat with this, and I'm sharing this on this podcast, and I haven't shared it with this guest yet, this client of mine, but I will. It's that what I believe to be true is that if we look at ourselves and say, who would I be without the problem? The answer is always not who would we be, but it would be how would we be? It's like it's an emotional state that we would be in. And if we look at that emotional state and we say, I would be peaceful, I would be calm, I would be content, I would be happy, fill in the blank here. Okay, how do I bring that into this moment? And when I ask myself those questions, because they're very powerful questions, and the quality of our questions are the quality of our lives, those questions now, I have something to align myself with. I know in this moment, no matter what the problem, that I want to be this person. I want to be this way. I want to be this person who doesn't view it as a problem. I want to be happy. I want to be content. I want to be whatever. Okay, great. I'm going to do my best to be that in this moment. And then all of a sudden that we're releasing the control on life and putting the control back on us. And now from that place, that empowered place, life seems completely different. And so that's a lot of things to say. If we just work on us and let the rest fall into place, life is totally different.
So good. You guys, like, rewind and listen to that again, because that is so Good. And the uncertainty and certainty to me translates as masculine and feminine energy. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm very dominant on my uncertainty. I don't need certainty. It's that experience over evidence. Like, do you want the certainty? Do you want the evidence? Do you want the proof? Or do you want to surrender? And I love to surrender because every time I do, my life gets so much more beautiful. Like, I'm just always in awe of the magic that I'm surrounded by. And it's because I don't give a shit. Like, really, truly, like, that's how it is in my mind. Like, I really don't care how it's going to play out. I just know that when I trust, it's more, you know, the best or better. It's usually better than I ever could have imagined because my imagination is only forming with the evidence of my past. And so I'm limited. I'm vastly limited. We all are vastly limited by the experience of this one lifetime. And that's why I love working with the world of spirit, because that taps into the soul work and the soul senses. And then you get like, then it's like dream in that realm because it is limitless. But the way that you put it, and I just love psychology terms. It makes me want to like get back into psychology because it used to just be like, I used to be so obsessed with all of it. And I think I'm more, you know, on the spiritual side, but they coincide. They're so the same.
It's just going in through the back door versus the front door. You know what I mean? Like, it just really is. I have this like list of words that mean all the same thing, but they're like, you know, the woo. Actually, there's a meme about it. I think it's like, you call it manifestation, where I call it this. You've probably seen it. And it's all these list of, I wish I could remember them all, but it's like, it goes from the realm of psychology to science to whatever to woo. And it has all the same, it's all the same word, but it's all different viewpoints. Right. And I thought that's brilliant. So I've kind of collected my own words like that. And it's, when it comes down to the psychology behind it, it's back door, front door, girls, you know, it's all the same.
It's the same thing. I love it so much. And just everything that you said, it just made me think like how there are so many people that have no idea how addicted they are to the life as they are. Like, it's the question I heard when you were speaking was, I can't blank because blank. And so I can't do this or go on this trip or whatever, eat that, da, 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 because blank. And whatever the reason is an illusion. It's a belief. It's a story that you've created to attach yourself to. And if you dare break the rules or pop the bubble or walk in another direction, it usually in your body will mean rejection, abandonment, ridicule, like all the scary stuff. But that too is made up. Like, maybe it will, like at one point it happened or it will happen again, like somebody will be mad at you, but it's like at the cost of what? Because right now you're mad at you. Like, that's why there's internal conflict.
Amen. That's exactly it. And it's, I don't know, we're so funny. And I'm guilty of it too. Like, I'm guilty of, you know, holding myself back in areas. And all at this point now, I laugh at myself. I laugh at it because one of the things that I pride myself on is I practice what I preach, right? But that in itself is scary too. Because when the words come out of my mouth, like if I have this new, because I do believe that when I'm doing what I'm meant to be doing, which is when I'm working with guests, when I'm on podcasts like this, when I'm meant to be using, when I'm using my voice or using my ears in a way that I'm meant to be, I get downloads. And when I get those downloads and the words come out of my mouth and now I'm like, oh, darn, you know, I have to go practice this. Like, I said it. So I also have to do this now. And that's been one of them for me. It's been really letting go of limitations. It's been letting go of the problems. It's been seeing life as limitless. And if it was limitless, what do I do? Like, I wake up in the morning and, you know, when I am starting my day, I ask God, how can I help you help me? Because I feel like, you know, there's a saying that nobody's coming here to save you. And I do believe that that's true. But I also believe that the moment we pick ourselves up off the ground, there's a wind that sweeps underneath us that helps us along. Like, you know, we're not lifting ourselves up by ourselves. And so how can I help you help me? My every single time I get an answer and it's like, this is what I need to do right now. Sometimes the helping you help me is I need to go meditate, or I need to go dance, or I need to, like, the funniest things pop into my mind. I just trust. Like, I just trust. And so I'm kind of, I don't know, I feel like I'm playing a game with life right now. I know we're off topic, but maybe it's helpful to somebody. I just feel like I'm playing a game with life. I really do.
It's so true. I used to wake up, I have kind of got out of my routine. I'm in a different routine right now, but I used to wake up and I would journal everything first thing in the morning and say, how may I be of service? And I kept getting the same answer when I stopped this ritual, but it was like, just love you, just love you. And it was like, I was literally getting like, if I love me, the most that I can love me, that's all that I need to do in this world at this time. And now that, you know, now I'm reading because I'm doing research on a program, and my morning routine has sort of shifted a little bit, but I do think that there is such a devotion to the self that is sacred that so many people miss out on. And I really encourage you to do that for you, like listening to this podcast, like go binge, like Stephanie's so good at doing reels. I'm not so much, but on her Instagram, there's so much information. It's like packed with great content. And I think like when I teach a class or you teach a class or we're doing this, like the people that choose to come and sit in space and like sit in circle, I like to say with us, like it's like gas. And then they take that gas, but I don't know if they're going to go for a drive. I don't even know if they know how to drive a car. And so really it's about continuing to put yourself in environments that feel like gas until you can start to accumulate your own gas by your relationship with your spirit and your soul. And so I think that that is like an analogy that just kind of came out of me, but that's why it's like, you don't go to the gym once and get a good body. You get devote to your physical body. And I believe that we need to be just as equally, if not more, devoted to our soul's evolution by getting into environments where there's talk of psychology or talk of spirituality or anything that's going to fuel us in a way of how can I understand myself so optimally that I then can function body and soul and spirit and like all in this way that will make me be happy and be present here. And that's why you and I do this work, is we did it for ourselves first. And then it was like, there's no turning back. I'm going to live this work.
That's exactly it. It's almost like the blinders off now. You know what I mean? And I'm sure there were other levels of blinders. Don't get me wrong. I'm not sitting here trying to say I'm fully enlightened, but I'll tell you what, Jenny, I'm super comfortable with where I am. And I'm having a lot of fun. Like I'm having a lot of fun.
Yeah. So I'm feeling like, are you like in the midst of writing a book or something? I feel like there's like a book.
Yeah. I am actually. So I haven't decided whether or not it's going to start as a book or as a course. But I can talk about it because I'm claiming it. And I've made an Instagram that I haven't worked with yet, but I made it because damn it, universe is not giving this idea to somebody else. But it's about Poopanon, it's called. And Poopanon is a recovery program for people pleasers, overachievers, overthinkers, and perfectionists.
Wow.
So it's the poop, the stinking thinking that causes us to get constipated from life. So it's a little satirical, you know, whatever you want to say. It's a little fun, but it's fun and it's serious at the same time. And it's something that when I think about what's held me back the most, it would be aspects of those four have held me back. So
I love that. I'm sorry to call you out. I just got this download and like, shit, she's working on a book.
I think that's you. I think that was the universe through you calling me out and being like, are you working on your book right now? Because you haven't touched it since December and it's now March. So
yeah, we were all in like this kind of, it wasn't a lull, but I think that this year started with like a lot of like ignition. Like it was like in January, we're going, we're rolling, we're doing, we're producing, we're creating, like, let's do this. And now March kind of feels like, okay, I like slow down a minute, look around. Where are we? Oh shit. We're 2 months in. What happened?
It's so true. The vibes are completely different for me anyway. I can only speak from my space. And I knew that lots of people were feeling it, but I also knew I have a Capricorn moon. So I thought, okay, well, you know, a Capricorn season, of course I'm a little more alive. Right. But from talking to a lot of people, I think it was more global. And I can tell you, Jenny, that yeah, there are aspects of that that have definitely been like, where'd that energy go? I liked it.
I liked it a lot too.
I don't drink caffeine, but it was like a caffeine boost.
It was. I felt it and I really produced a lot in the last few months, but now this is going to launch at the beginning of Aries season. And I do feel like I think April's going to feel really expansive. And I think depending on the work you've been doing, that's either going to feel like a breath of fresh air or that's going to feel like what is happening. So I think that you got to take this work seriously and know, like, I am ready to step into the next version of myself. And if you don't call it out and own it, it's going to show up anyway. And you might be like, what's happening?
I think you're speaking truth right now. I feel it.
Yeah, me too. I'm pretty excited. Okay. So tell us all the handles, the website, how people find you, how people work with you, all the things.
Well, thank you for that. And thank you for this conversation. Like, just love, especially, I love these conversations that, I don't know, I get to take off a little bit of the hat. You know what I mean? Of psychological, we're not here to advertise everything. Like, let's just have a conversation. So I appreciate you. Thank you. And how can people, if you're just like looking to kind of see what I'm about, Instagram, Psychologically Safe Steph. I'm on TikTok, but that's like, I was kind of late to the game on that one. I definitely focus my attention on Instagram. I have a podcast called Get Rooted, which there's an episode of Jenny. So if you're a fan of Jenny on that, check it out. It was one of the best performing podcasts that we had. So that was amazing. And then my website is wavesociety.ca. I am a Canadian company. And there you can kind of look up and see what programs I teach. I do custom programs. Right now, where I would love my energy to be used would be speaking at events, speaking in businesses, helping to raise psychological safety, and at the same time, consciousness. You know, that's really the work that I feel like I'm doing. And I still love my one-on-ones. Like, I love one-on-one coaching. And I just know that the one-on-one coaching, I will say, when you're ready, because it is a process. It is a beautiful process. And it's one you have to be ready for. But when you're ready, I'm ready.
I love that. That's how I am too. Like, we're going deep. This isn't a fluff. Like, we're healing shit. We're making moves. I was going to ask and I forgot, but I'd love to finish this with, you mentioned boundaries. And so how do you teach people to protect themselves? Like, what would you offer the listeners as in like two tips on protecting themselves?
Such a good question. The first thing that starts with boundaries is, if you think of what boundaries are, a physical boundary, right? It is the actual outline of an area, right? It's the, whether you want to say it's the fence or not, but it's the physical layout of the land. How do you know what your boundaries are if you don't know the land? If you don't know you, if you don't know who you are, if you don't know where your limitations are, if you don't know what you want, what you need, then you have no hope of setting a boundary. Like, you have to know yourself on a deep level. Not saying you can't set a boundary. I'm not saying that. Simple as this. So that's the first tip. Second tip, and I'll go back to the first after. Second tip is simply learning to say no. Like, if somebody's listening and they're not great at boundaries right now, my advice is to learn languages that speak to you about saying no. The pendulum doesn't have to swing to no. It can swing to not right now. But learning a few phrases that set you up to, and you can do this by listening to yourself and being like, when am I most, say, irritated inside? When am I most feeling off inside? And looking at those situations and being like, okay, it's when somebody asks me to bring another tray of cookies to the PTA meeting, right? Or it's when somebody asks me to go to a movie and I'm like, I don't really want to go see a movie with you. Every time we go, you steal my popcorn, right? It's something like that. Well, look at those situations and come up with a few phrases that you can now practice. Simple as that. Back to number one, though. When you know yourself, it becomes a lot easier to say no. And when you get to a place, what I love to teach to is grounded confidence, groundedness. When you have groundedness, there's an energetic boundary that happens there that people just don't mess with you. Right. So, but I know that that's something that I'm still working on. Like that's something that is, I'm not saying you can't have it in an instant. I'm just saying that I know that that in itself is almost like it's a feeling that you have to know what it feels like first to even get there. And that comes with knowing yourself. So easiest way is part two, come up with a couple scripts. Just simple as that.
Yeah. I want to offer a few because, so I'm a state girl authority and I work with a lot of emotional authorities. Not all. I mean, I know there's more authorities than human design, but a sacral authority knows right away. And so what I realize is I know in my body, but sometimes I don't know in the evidence in my mind. And so I just have had to say, my body is saying this and I need to trust it. And the people that push back, I've found myself getting really offended because it's like, you're not trusting my relationship with my body. Like you're not trusting my no. And I don't like that. But yeah, that felt good for me as in like, you know, my body's saying no right now, and I'm just going to trust what it's saying, but I don't really know why. But you know, if I change my mind, I'll get back to you. And then emotional authorities, you just need to know that you're writing the emotion. And so always you should say, I'll get back to you. Like, wait, it doesn't always need to be 24 hours, but that's what some facilitators will say is like, wait 24 hours, but anything should just be a, let me get back to you on that. Because you probably will be more likely to be able to say no, but you want to know it. Like you want to know what your answer is. And so you don't have that like, oh, how do I get out of this? I committed and I wasn't really feeling it. But yeah, like, you know, Stephanie said, there's so many different ways to say no than actually saying boldly no. And aren't you a Taurus? So Taurus with a cat moon is probably going to be able to find her nose a little bit easier than a Cancer with a Pisces moon.
Yeah, you would think so, but I was programmed out of that. So yeah, like I know my nose, I'm very firm, but I was programmed. I think one of the beautiful things of why I do what I do and why I'm so mindful of everybody's viewpoint is I was programmed to be more considerate of other people's feelings than my own. Be careful what people think was in my household was said almost every single day. Like if I was being loud or if I said something that was even the slightest bit off, it would be careful what you're saying. What will people think? And that sounds like it could be a bad thing, but I will say to you, Jenny, without that, I wouldn't be where I am. So, you know, it was a conditioning that had me. Now I turn it to how do I make people feel, you know, that whole thing. But I wouldn't be where I am if I didn't have that. But yeah, make a long story short, I was conditioned out of my Taurus, my Capricorn moon that way anyway.
But again, another very radical responsibility statement coming from Stephanie. So thank you so much for being here. I love talking to you. It's so good. And you guys on Instagram, it's Psychologically Safe Steph. Please go binge her content, give her a follow. And is there anything else that you would like to add before we bring it to a close?
I feel complete.
Wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful. I hope you guys all had a beautiful weekend and thank you for listening.
Thank you for joining Champagne Channeling. I hope this started off your weekend beautifully. If you would like to learn more about our guest, please visit the show notes for more information. If you would like to support me, you can leave a written review, which helps the podcast grow, or you may toast your host at the link in the show notes for a glass or a bottle of champagne. I love you guys. Thank you for joining. Again, cheers to a beautiful weekend, and I will see you next week.